Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this community, and we're so grateful to be together in worship with you all on this beautiful day. We're excited and thrilled to welcome a colleague and friend of ours, Reverend Kelly Love, is here with her partner, Katie. Kelly is a United Methodist pastor. She's a chaplain, and also she was one of the small group of pastors 14 years ago when we were dreaming about the table, who would meet with us about every couple weeks in the fireside room just down the way in just care and support, because our United Methodist system had not really planted a church in some time. And so Kelly was one of the people who came alongside us just offering care and support as we found our way. And so we're deeply grateful for the long journey that you have been on with us, Kelly, and to have you with us this morning. We are taking one step forward with technology, and then inevitably when that happens, you take two steps back. So the one step forward is in the back of the sanctuary are listening assistance devices that we have folks that are trying those on. Is it working, Penny? Sarnit has more of these, and we're going to keep learning how to use these. Corey has set them up, and we'll continue to try to make them work better and better as we go. But if you would like to try those, they're in the back of the sanctuary. And then we think our live stream is not working at this moment. So that is what it is, and we're going to find our way. And if I'm wrong, then the people are hearing us online. And if I'm not, then they have no idea what's happening already. So I'm going to invite you to stand in body or in spirit. We're going to move into worship together with a song that is an original piece of music that Ariel and our music team created together on a writing retreat back in January. It's rooted in the poetry of Mary Oliver and in the Psalms as well. So let us be in a spirit of prayer as we move together into worship.
may be seated. I invite you right where you are to take in a deep breath and let it out slowly. Breathing is one of those things that we so often take for granted, you know, but it is the source of much of our life. And so we invite you to breathe and come into your body as we move into a time of prayer.
Whoever saw the mustard plant, wayside weed, or tended crop, grow tall as a shrub, let alone a tree. A tree full of shade and nests and songs. Acres of yellow, not a bird of the air in sight. No, he who knew the west wind brings the rain, the south wind thunder, who walked the field paths running his hand along wheat stems to glean those intimate milky kernels, good to break on the tongue, was talking of miracle, the seed within us, so small we take it for worthless, a mustard seed, dust, nothing. Glib generations mistake the metaphor, not looking at fields and trees, not noticing paradox. Mountains remain unmoved. Faith is rare, he must have been saying. Prodigious, unique, one infinitesimal grain divided like loaves and fishes, as if from a mustard seed, a great shade tree grew. That rare, that strange, the kingdom a tree, the soul a bird. A great concourse of birds at home there, wings among yellow flowers. The waiting kingdom of faith, the seed waiting to be sown.
There's a oneness in God's mind. all breathe in and breathe out. It's such a wonderful feeling just being here. I thought my breathing in and breathing out was very unique, but I saw in annual general conference, many of the people were actually doing it. I was like, okay, this is something that is not new, but. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. I would like to welcome those who are online, and for your patience, Stephen Starr is your host, and our online portal is working. It was a little down while we were started. One of the most wonderful thing I think of is every Sunday when I'm here, I as a person get filled with love, joy, anxiety, lot of emotions. And this is because I'm super grateful for each and everything. The musicians, Pastor Matt and Linda, people who walk in, the newcomers, kids whose shirt says, dude, best forever. And that's one of the most wonderful feelings. When I get to welcome and get to hug and get to see and get to see the smile, get to see people who just wants to walk in. And I'm super grateful that we all share that wonderful, wonderful feeling. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. Pride, pride, pride. One of the most wonderful things, and this is just because this is my first ever march, our parade that I did in Pride. What I saw was, I think it was spiritual for me. I saw hope. I saw joy. I saw people confused. I saw people with laughter. And it's not just Sacramento, but me posting online, it surpasses just Sacramento. People reaching out from Fiji, seeing that, you know, I can be who I am. We all can be who you are, the power of you. Whew. So, and I'm super grateful for those who joined us. It was just amazing. The parade was amazing, and our potluck was amazing. We shared food yesterday, and it's a time just to sharing and loving and caring for each other. And that's what Pride meant for me. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing a Liz Wright arrangement of Barely.
Barley, you will not shake me. The wind that Shake me the wind that shakes the barley wool. Shake me like my mama told me. This I know and I see. The fire that takes the kindling, it will not take me. The fire that shakes the kindling, it will not take me. I know and I see. Oh, oh, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, oh yeah. Rain that floods the valley, it will not drown me. The rain that floods the valley, it will not drown me. The rain that floods the valley won't drown me. Like my grandma told me, this I sure know. Sparrow, it will not strike me. The hawk that stoops the sparrow, it will not strike me. The hawk that stoops the sparrow won't strike me. Like my grandma told me, that I know when I see. Dark before the dawn, it will not blind me, said the dark before the dawn breaks, it will not blind me. The dark before the dawn breaks, will not blind me. Oh, my mama told me this I know when I shakes the barley, it will not shake me. The wind that shakes the barley, it will not shake me. The wind that shakes the barley won't shake me. Like my mama told me, this I know.
We have some amazing musicians. Ariel, you crazy, girl. Wow. My name is Bob Martinez. Welcome, everyone. Good morning and happy Father's Day to everyone. At this time, I want to invite our children to move now from the sanctuary as our musicians help them break on through to our summer children's ministry. I want to remind families that this morning we make the switch to our summer children's ministry. Our children will begin in the hallway. Our kinder through sixth grade will move outdoors to the playground for a story or maybe somewhere else. This is a work in transition. And our youngest friends will stay indoors with loving and professional care down the hall. Incidentally, for the 9:30 service, for those of you that aren't permanent children's ministry teachers, we still need volunteers, so if you would like to volunteer, that would be wonderful. We would really appreciate it for the summer children's ministry. Our reading this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Mark, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, which is an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. Now, here is another way to see Creator's good road, he said. It is like a man who plants seed into the earth. Day or night, awake or asleep, the seed grows without the man knowing how or doing anything. The earth makes the seed grow without any help. First the stem, and then the head, and finally the grain appears. Once it is ripe, the time has come, and right away it is harvested. What is Creator's good road like, he said. What can I compare it to? What story will help us see its true meaning? It is like a single grain of mustard seed, one of the smallest of seeds. But when planted in a garden, it grows larger than all the other plants, and it takes over the garden. It becomes a great tree with many, many branches, large enough for the winged ones who soar in the sky to find lodging in its shade. So Creator sets free, Jesus, taught the people with many stories like these. He would tell them as much as they were able to hear. He would only use stories to teach the crowds. But then, in private, he would tell the full meaning to the ones who walked the road with him.
It is a treat to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation and the warm welcome. I think the first time I ever worshiped in this space was with the historic congregation of Central United Methodist Church, and I'm not sure when that was, maybe 20 years ago. And I have been here with you all in worship many times and also online. And I have been so delighted to see the evolution of church in this space. So it's really special to be invited to do this. Thanks. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words that are spoken and the words that are heard be blessed by you, the living word. Amen. There are a whole lot of spiritual practices that are available to us to help us stay in love with God. One of these is called Lectio Divina, which is a slow, contemplative, repetitive method for reading scripture. In my kitchen table this week, we practiced Lectio Divina, and I think some of you did too. In this practice of reading scripture slowly, with gentle curiosity, the first invitation is to notice what jumps out at us first. What word in the scripture or phrase or image or whatever is the first to catch our attention? Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda are planners, so I had the information about today's service weeks ago, and I sat down to do my first reading of the scripture. And in the spirit of Lectio Divina, the first thing that jumped out at me was the end of this morning's scripture. The last line of the reading, this is the way it says it in the New Revised Standard Version, the last line says, Jesus explained everything in private to his disciples. And my first thought was, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of the ones who gets the private explanation. Isn't that exactly where religious people go wrong? That, my friends, is why a church should do a sermon series on breaking on through to the other side. Religious people go wrong when they think that faith is about having insider knowledge on God, having the best and most correct explanation as if received in private from Jesus himself. That is part of what we're called to break through. I would love to preach a sermon about how those other people are clinging to their right answers and their correct God talk. You know, fundamentalists, religious conservatives. I might be a wee bit tempted to think that we are the ones breaking through what they get wrong. But then I bump right into my own impulse when I read this morning's scripture. I'm faced with the part of me that also wants that private explanation. And that tells me that this invitation from Jesus, this invitation not to learn a set of lessons, but instead to listen to stories and to wonder, this invitation is for me just as surely as it is for any other kind of religious person, darn it. I think it's pretty human to want clarity, resolution, even to long for it in the face of a pretty chaotic world. But for better and for worse, I don't think resolution is what Jesus offers, especially not when he's telling these parable stories. I work as a hospital chaplain, and one part of my work is sitting with people and listening as they share what they're going through. And I know we have some other chaplains here among us this morning. Some people talk through how they are making sense of what they're going through. I hear things like this. I believe God is punishing me, though I can't figure out what for. God must have a reason for wanting me to suffer. God must be testing me. In my role as a chaplain, I simply hold space for a person's experience and emotions and beliefs. I don't try to fix them. But as a preacher, I can say that I don't believe God hands out trials and suffering like a dealer at a card table. I don't believe God punishes people because I do believe God is just. And I can see clearly all around us that suffering is not distributed in a way that is just. So I've thought a lot about these beliefs I hear from hospital patients, these explanations they turn to in an attempt to make sense of what they're going through. And my theory about these beliefs is that many people would rather have an explanation that harms them than have no explanation at all. I think at some times, or for some people, it is so intolerable to imagine that what's going on really doesn't make sense, that in place of that, they are willing to accept an explanation that does harm. And there are plenty of religious communities that support that way of thinking. I'd like to break through that. I get it, kind of. I think it can be scary not to have an answer or an explanation. I think it is a very human impulse to want answers, to want to understand the why behind what's happening to us or happening in our world. But for as much as we might want that, Jesus breaks through that illusion of clear and concrete answers, of straightforward explanations. The reading you heard that the Global Church assigns to this Sunday includes two parables. Parables are stories that talk about one thing to help you understand some other thing. Today, Jesus talks about seeds of grain and of mustard to help us understand the kingdom of God, what the First Nations version of the passage calls Creator's Good Road. I think the kingdom of God is God's vision for our world, is a way of being that Jesus invites us into. Parables almost always use words and images we know, simple, familiar things. Maybe this is why one common misperception is that parables are simple stories, are illustrations that are easy to understand. That is not at all how parables work. Parables are not only stories, but are kind of like a puzzle. Their meaning is not apparent. The parables ask us to struggle with them. You can't be a passive listener and learn from Jesus' parables. You have to participate. You have to explore, even play. In the words of Matthew Meyer Bolton, Jesus' parables are contemplative spaces, evocative puzzles, riddles that beckon us closer to Jesus, that is, to hear the secrets they simultaneously suggest and conceal. So when I had this impulse to want to receive the private explanation, I think the image in my head, or the narrative behind that impulse, was the idea that somehow Jesus would resolve the disciples' questions and my questions. I think I imagined Jesus would make everything clear, which shows that I had not been paying attention. Jesus had just said that the kingdom, that Creator's good road, is like something we don't know, we don't understand. It is as if someone would scatter seed and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. They do not know how. They do not know how. There is a lot we don't know. In this parable, Jesus makes a point of drawing our attention to this not knowing. So that's our first parable. In our second parable, we hear that Creator's good road is like a mustard seed, a very small seed which becomes the greatest of all shrubs. Are you familiar with mustard? I'm certain you've seen it all around, whether you knew it or not. It grows all over California. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were on vacation doing a lot of hiking with friends. I taught my friends to identify the mustard we were seeing in bloom on the hillsides all around us. We sampled the flowers. The flowers are edible, and they have a sharp, mustardy taste of their own. Later, after the flowers had dried and given way to seed pods, my friend went out and collected seeds and made his own homemade mustard. The parable of the mustard seed is weird. It doesn't really make sense. Mustard grows like a weed. It's generally considered to be a weed. It is a native plant in the Middle East, in those places where the events of Jesus' life took place. Here in California, it's actually invasive, although very beautiful. So in this parable, someone is cultivating a plant that is a weedy native plant. That doesn't make much sense. I know we have gardeners here, folks connected to Table Farm and folks connected to Grace Garden over at the Davis United Methodist Church. Mustard is not that impressively large. Is Jesus joking? exalting what the parable describes as a shrub. All through the Bible, we find references to trees, impressive trees, trees that are beautiful and fruitful and symbolic of life and wisdom and power. But Jesus highlights a shrubby weed instead. We gardeners normally think of weeds as bad. But then again, Jesus' community thought of Samaritans as bad too. But Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, and Jesus tells us that when the builders reject a stone, it is that stone that becomes the cornerstone. So isn't it just like Jesus to compare God's way not to a cedar or an olive tree or even to barley, but instead to an unruly weed? Jesus tells these stories to help us understand Creator's good road. And what do we understand? To offer a tidy explanation of a parable would be to undermine the very thing Jesus is doing here, breaking through our assumptions and breaking open our minds and our hearts. Jesus is inviting us to puzzle and explore and wonder. I don't want to undermine what Jesus is doing. We don't get a set of answers or instructions. We don't get tidy categories of right and wrong or good and bad. Jesus breaks through that kind of structure, that kind of God talk. What we do get is stories. And I'm convinced we get some hints, some real clues into Creator's good road, into Jesus' vision for us, into the kingdom of God. I think these parables point us to a kingdom of God that is wild and uncontained, as wild and uncontained and as beautiful as a blooming weed. I think these parables point us to a kingdom of God in which that thing that would be pulled out by the roots and discarded is instead portrayed as part of Creator's good road. Isn't that a fitting image during this Pride Month, when we gather to celebrate that those of us who have been rooted out by some churches are here embraced by a church that says all means all? I think these parables teach us that the kingdom of God involves sitting with what we don't know as much as holding fast to what we do know. So maybe when Jesus went off in private to explain things to the disciples, maybe he was explaining that. Maybe he said something like, "You cannot know. You can only contemplate and wonder and explore, but you cannot know. You can't know." But just as Jesus' parables don't allow us to be passive listeners, but instead invite us to participate through wonder and exploration, Jesus' vision for a way of being does not allow us to be spectators, but instead invites us to participate. And the parables hint at what it looks like to participate in Jesus' vision for a way of being, in Creator's good road. Seed is scattered and sprouts and produces grain. Seed is planted and grows and provides shade and nesting space. And here in this community of faith, the invitation is to be rooted in grace. The invitation is to grow in faith. The invitation is to reach like branches, to reach in love. So maybe Jesus doesn't give us God talk that clarifies all our questions. But certainly, Jesus invites us. Jesus calls us to be rooted and reaching and growing in ways that just might give us a taste of Creator's good road. Amen.
We're
over here arguing about who's going to talk next. I won. We talk about bread so that we think about our meals. We talk about the cup and the fruit of the vine so that we think about God's gifts. We, as Kelly so eloquently reminded us, are not passive recipients. We are active participants, receiving God's free gift of love every day. And so it is that we come to this table, God's table, knowing not all of the answers, but hopeful and wondering about how God will reveal God's self yet again today. So I invite us to stand as we prepare for this meal. In the midst of all of that great love, so often, as Kelly also shared, we want the inside track. I confess to that. Parables are hard so often to understand, but really they are invitations to wonder anew. And so we hope, as we move into this prayer of confession, to speak to that part of ourselves that longs for knowing an inside track to give way to trust and hope. So let us pray this prayer together. Gracious God, for many of us, the notion of parables is new. Yet your example in Scripture challenges us to wonder about the creative ways you use story to draw us closer, to pay attention to your ways of knowing in body and soul. Accompany us, Lord, as we seek to understand earthly things so that we might know your ways more fully. Help us to excavate our own stories that express our love for ourselves, for you, and for our neighbors. Amen.
Fear not, for our Creator loves and forgives us. Forgives our errant efforts at inside tracks, and God sows the good news in story and seed, inviting all of us to tend that same soil as we discover one another and God in community. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let's say amen.
Amen. And I invite us to join in the call and response. This is the church's practice for recognizing the love of God which indwells each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn to a person near to you and share a symbol of peace with one another. In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, and God, the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth, and plants turned green, and fruit began to grow ripe, and to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." And then God invited all of creation to rest, to rest. But it didn't stay good for long because God's people started to look for that inside track. They wanted to have that private conversation and to hold some absolute certainty. So God placed inside the earth a seed, a parable that would become the life, the love, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, and placed that on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to love one another.
Did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid the principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge, it was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he would never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming and going and coming again means to us. And we can be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith. When Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both and gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me." Invite us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared long ago with his companions. They have been adapted and changed throughout the years and codified, called the Lord's Prayer by the church. And we invite you to address God in the language most dear in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them your hope alive in the world. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those who are online with us to bring close to you whatever you are using for your bread and your juice this day. And for those of us here in the sanctuary, our meal will be shared both here and in the back of the sanctuary. On the platter, what you will find is bread that David baked for us this weekend, and then there is a non-gluten option of crackers in the center of the platter. In the cups is always grape juice, so we want everyone to know that. The way that you have this meal this morning is to take a piece of bread off the plate and dip it in the cup of juice, and we'll model that up here. We always encourage people to remember that every week there are those among us for whom this is something really different and very new, and there are those among us for whom this is a life practice. Most of us fall somewhere on that continuum, but always, every week, we remind you that there's nothing you can do to make a mistake. We are in this divine dance of God's together. There are places to pray all around the sanctuary, either kneeling or standing or simply saying right where you are in your pew. We commend this meal to you and to God.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you all, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the whole world. And the bread of life broken for you.
Thank you.
We encourage those praying with candles to remain in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of your grace made known in the mystery of this sacred meal, may your love call us ever deeper into questions and ever more fully into your loving care. May we be held in the depth of your grace in this moment and called to live as expressions of your peace in the world, and may that be enough. We offer this time in your creative ways in many names. Amen. Friends, it is our deep hope that we all will wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting us to take, ways that we might reach in love. And we don't pretend to know exactly what that looks like in your life, but there will be opportunities that we'll all have as we go from this space. It could be just as simple as walking outside of the sanctuary and introducing yourself to another person that you haven't met yet. Because so often when people come in, they imagine that everyone knows everyone. That is so not the case. So you could be bold and brave to initiate that conversation in this moment, or just be open to see if someone else might invite you into that space. Many of us respond to the love of God and the beauty of community in this way by sharing generously from our own resources, trusting that God's love will be animated in ways through our collective generosity in ways that we can't when we go it alone. And so we invite you to consider wondering about what generosity looks like for you and to make a gift when you're ready. You can do that in the sanctuary or online. Outside, there is bread that comes to us from Ezekiel, and my family was able, we have Disney Plus, so we were able to see the feature that includes Z and other bakers in San Francisco on Disney Plus, and it makes the bread just taste, it already was epically amazing, but watch, if you have Disney Plus, check out Ezekiel's feature on there, and then the bread is outside. You can also pre-order that for the month of July. And then finally, we're having or transitioning, we're giving our amazing folks who watch over our children in love during the school year with Godly Play some time of rest and Sabbath this summer. And so many of you have already signed up to help watch over our children outside on Sunday mornings at 9:30. If you haven't yet and you're willing to do that, we would love to have you just pick a Sunday that works for you and you can sign up online. We'll have a team that'll meet you there and to help you along the way. Your only preparation is life thus far, so you are already prepared and ready to go. We are in this together. We will find a way. This last song that we're going to go out to, really, Brendan started to work on this song. Ariel came along and others as we were gathering for a writing retreat. This is inspired by actually one of the mystics of the last generation who helped us to lean deeply into parables in the way of Jesus. His name is Howard Thurman, and this song is called Open Unto Me. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and invite you to join your voices as we feel led.
Wisdom and confusion, courage for my fear, joy for my sorrow. Oh,
Worship is winding down, and we will be walking out of this space. And as you walk out of this space and into the week that awaits you, may you walk along Creator's good road. May you participate in God's vision, like grain, like mustard, like being rooted and growing and reaching. Go in peace.
Thanks for all you give it. Yes, to what we'll be rooted in this moment. We take it. Thanks for all you give back. Yes, to what we'll be rooted in this moment. We take it. Thanks for all you give back. Yes, to what we'll be rooted in this moment. We take it. Thanks for all you give back.